All right, Alexander, let's talk about what's going on with oil. And it's been really hard to keep up, to be honest. Trump sent out a tweet. Oil, I think, had its best day ever in history. I mean, it blew up. And then it looks like the tweet doesn't mean anything. And they're back to fighting again, Russia and Saudi Arabia. They're back to kind of, not fighting, putting the blame on each other, trying to pin the blame on who's at fault here. Meanwhile, the shale industry in the US is falling apart. What's going on here? This is a mess. It seems to me that it's just a complete mess, but I will say this. It looks like Russia does hold all the cards. It looks like the US is going to put a lot of pressure on MBS in Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia just does not look like it's in a good position here.
No, it
They
doesn't.
overplayed there
Absolutely,
yet.
absolutely not. Now, I think we need to get past a little bit of the vocalizing that we're hearing from the Saudis. Oh no, it wasn't us. We never had any plan for an oil price war. We never intended to destroy shale. This is nothing. We never. We were always. We didn't want to end OPEC Plus or any of these things. We need
Even the
to.
New York Times called their bluff. Even the New York Times, that
I
hates
know,
Russia,
I know,
said
I
that
know,
the Saudis
I know.
are talking bullshit.
No, they're talking absolute
I mean,
bullshit. But
for the New York Times to do that says a lot.
that says an awful lot. Let's get past that a moment. Let's look at the actual events. And can I just say, and all right, we know we're blowing our trumpets a little now. But if we don't, who will do it for us? We have got this essentially right. Now, there's been some things we have been saying from the get-go. We have been very critical of this story that Vladimir Putin launched an oil war in order to destroy US shale. That's not something that has any basis in fact. That's never been what Putin has been about. That's a complete misrepresentation of what happened at the oil summit in Vienna in March. So let's just repeat that. We've made that point many, many times. The people who launched the shale war, the oil price war, were the Saudis. MBS presented Putin with this extraordinary ultimatum. He said, we're going to cut production in OPEC by 1.5 million barrels a day. You must cut production by 300,000 barrels a day. What the Russians said at this summit, what they said was, look, this is not a good idea. We don't yet know where the market is going. Corona is dominating the picture. Things could, let's wait a couple of weeks till the end of March and see what happens then. If we cut production now, it's not going to have any effect. Because demand around the world is collapsing, all that will happen is that the shale producers will ramp up production in response to our production cuts. So let's wait and see. And then what MBS did was he said, "Right, fine, if you're going to do that, I'm going to show you what a big, strong guy I am. I'm going to actually ramp up production." From 7 or 8 million barrels a day, which is what Saudi Arabia was producing, which is, by the way, its usual production rate, to 12.5 million barrels a day, some of which isn't actually oil, which Saudi Arabia is producing. It was oil that he was going to take out of storage. And he was actually talking at one point about reducing supplies to or Saudi consumers. So that he would flood the world with oil. And he had this extraordinary agenda of, re-establishing Saudi Arabia's dominance as the big, powerful oil producer, putting Russia in its place and destroying the US shale industry in the process. It was a megalomaniac plan. And we've talked about this many, many times. And we've pointed out in previous videos how this is going to bankrupt Saudi Arabia long before it bankrupted Russia. And it was going to annoy the United States, which is Saudi Arabia's great friend. And of course, it wasn't going to make the Russians very pleased with the MBS either. MBS insisted on taking this line against the advice of most of the ministers, apparently, within his own government. But that's what he did. So he gambled. Now, that was what actually happened in Vienna. So what has happened is, exactly as he was warned by the Russians and by other people, corona has spread. Corona is spreading in Saudi Arabia also, by the way. I gather it's all but out of control there. Demand around the world has collapsed. Some people say by up to 20 million barrels a day. 20 million barrels a day. Others say less. I've heard a figure from Tom Luongo that it's about 13 million barrels a day. That may be true. I'm not saying. I don't know. But anyway, its demand has collapsed. And what MBS found was that he was producing oil and he had no buyers because everybody has more oil at this moment than they can use. The market is saturated. And I also said that if he carried on pumping oil at this rate, he would very, very quickly find that he was running out of storage space. This is what we said on the last video that we did. And that would in turn force him to cut production. And in our last video, we also said, and I would remind our viewers, that you pointed out to me about 10 days ago that there were already rumors that this was happening. There was this phone call from, you know, you were saying that Trump would phone Putin in order to try to, you know, basically team up with Putin against MBS. And eventually this is exactly what has happened. That's exactly what has happened. So Trump telephoned Putin. He said to Putin, we need to talk about oil. Putin agreed to talk about oil. Putin has called his executives together. He has said that, you know, there needs to be a global production cut to provide some stability to the markets. That will bring oil up to about $41, $42 a barrel. Still very hard for the shale producers, but some will survive it. And the big oil majors in the US, you know, Exxon and Texaco and all of those, they'll be all right with that. So it was, in other words, preserve the US oil industry, stabilize the oil market, but Saudi Arabia will have to cut. The US also will have to cut. There's been this very interesting meeting which Putin has had with the oil executives a video conference, not a meeting, with the oil executives and the energy minister. And it's quite clear that Putin is expecting a cut in energy production and oil production by the US also. We predicted that was what Putin would be looking for. But with the Russians apparently talking about 1 million barrels a day cut by themselves, the US looking to cut perhaps 2 million barrels a day, if you're talking about 10 million barrels a day, the biggest cut will have to be done by the Saudis.
Will it be done?
Well, that's another question. That's a very
And what good happens question. If they don't do it?
Well, what happens if they don't edit? So that is, as they say, the $64,000 question, or in this case, the multi-trillion-dollar question, because that's the importance of the oil industry here. The first thing to say is we can't be sure, because there will be some resistance in the US, I think, to the US cutting oil production. I mean, that's never been done in the US for many, many years, that they've agreed concerted production cuts. It used to happen in the 50s, I believe, but it's a long time since it did. And supposedly antitrust laws make it very difficult. I would guard against assuming that, by the way, because remember, the people who enforce antitrust laws is the Justice Department, which is a part of the federal government. So if the President of the United States brokers an agreement which he tells the Justice Department to respect, will the Justice Department overrule that by, you know, invoking antitrust laws? I'm not sure, actually. I rather doubt it. But anyway, that's an issue. I think the US will abide by it. I think they will do it. I understand that the idea there is basically to cut back production in the Gulf of Mexico and to invoke the powers that the president has in a sort of emergency situation. to order cutbacks in offshore oil production, which can be done quite easily, and it won't affect the shale producers, which is a much more diversified, fragmented industry. So I think the US will do it. I think the Russians certainly can do it. If they just, the Russians decide to cut production by 1 million barrels a day, which is what they're saying, they will do it. Will the Saudis? I mean, they won't carry all that production cut, but they will carry, you know, a significant part of it. We're talking now about, you know, 7 million barrels a day. If the US is cutting by two and the Russians are cutting by one, then OPEC overall must cut production by, well, say 5 million barrels a day, because, you know, you're also looking at other producers like Canada, like Brazil, which are also going to be asked to cut back. But 5 million barrels a day? Well, maybe. I mean, the Saudis have ramped up production supposedly by 4 million barrels a day. They probably can cut back quite a lot. The other big Gulf oil producers can also cut back production. I would have thought, I would guess it could be done, actually. But it'll be tough. If they don't do it, the US will be absolutely furious. Donald Trump will be extremely angry. And you will see a situation where oil prices will fall even further. We'll be looking at $20 oil, perhaps even $10 oil. I can't see how that helps the Saudis. I mean, their own budget is a mess now. They need $81 a barrel oil to balance their budget. They're not going to get anywhere close to that figure. And with $10 a barrel, of course, it becomes, you know, unthinkable. They'll burn through their reserves at a phenomenal pace. And they will find themselves in severe economic trouble at one and the same time as the US, their great ally, will be furious with them. I mean, contrast that with the Russians, who apparently in the whole of March ran through about $2 billion of their, actually spent about $2 billion of their reserves to support all of their various financial markets, which apparently has now ended. So the US spends trillions of dollars because it's got this massive financial system and its huge, hedge fund industry and all that to sustain. Saudi Arabia is struggling because, as I said, they got $80 a barrel they need for their oil, and they're looking at, you know, something like, well, it'll be much more than 20% of GDP, their budget deficit. And the Russians, they spent $2 billion in total on support. They're looking to spend about 5% of their GDP, as against 30% of their GDP in the US, to support their economy through this crisis. And that means a budget deficit of around 2% of GDP. 2% of GDP. I mean, these figures may change, but at the moment, they're in a much stronger position than the US is. And of course, in Saudi Arabia's case, I mean, Saudi Arabia's position is potentially a desperate one.
All right, so they're going to try and get together the next, I think, 3-4 days and hammer out some sort of agreement.
That's right. I should say, let's talk about this quarrel. I mean, you know.
Right, let's talk. Well, great. Let me read you a Putin's quote, Alexander, what he said.
Yeah.
And then you can launch into the quarrel between Russia and Saudi Arabia. So let me read you what Putin said, and I'm taking this from Zero Hedge. Quote, "It was the pullout by our partners from Saudi Arabia from the OPEC Plus deal, their increase in production, and their announcement that they were even ready to give discounts on oil that contributed to the crash, along with the corona-driven drop in demand," Putin said. Quote, "This was apparently linked to efforts by our partners from Saudi Arabia to eliminate competitors who produce so-called shale oil," Putin continued. "To do that, the price needs to be below $40 a barrel, and they succeeded in that. But we don't need that. We never set such a goal." That is an incredible statement from Putin. He's basically saying, and I'm going to paraphrase it, Saudi Arabia was looking to screw U.S. shale oil. We have no such goal in mind to do that. Don't Don't lump us into that effort, Saudi Arabia. That's not our goal. We know what you're trying to do. That's pretty much what he's saying there.
This is exactly true. And can I just say again, this is what Putin is saying is the historic truth. It is what happened in Vienna. You can go back to our older videos and watch them. And you will say this. I've been saying this repeatedly. There is no Russian plan to destroy the US shale industry. I mean, all these people who've been writing all these clever articles about, you know, Putin's diabolical plan to destroy the US shale industry have got this one completely wrong. There is no such Russian plan. There never has been. It's been very depressing, actually, to read these articles, which so misunderstand Russian intentions. The Russians have no desire to destroy the US shale industry. They've accepted it as a reality. They accepted it as a reality long ago. They did not pull out of OPEC Plus. They suggested at that meeting in Vienna that it be extended for a further month, and then that there be all the various OPEC Plus oil producers, that's Russia and various other former Soviet republics, OPEC, come together after that month and see where the market is going, given the fact that demand was collapsing because of the corona situation. In other words, what Putin was saying is the truth. And that's what they said at the time. They did say, and this is what has been completely misrepresented, that if they had cut production then, it wouldn't have had any effect because demand was collapsing and because the shale producers would use any cutback by OPEC Plus as a further excuse to crank up production. But that's what they said. What MBS then did is that he said, in that case, if you're not going to give me the production cut I want, I'm not bothering anymore with OPEC Plus. I won't agree to any further 1 month extension of OPEC Plus. I'm not going to negotiate with you. I'm going to flood the world with oil. That is the historical reality. And we mustn't get away from that. Now that it's all blown up in his face, he's sending his foreign minister and his oil minister, by the way, is his full brother, to go around and say, issue all of these statements saying this was never our plan. It was the Russians who pulled out of an agreement. It was the Russians who decided that they didn't want to continue with OPEC Plus. When, as I said, the reality is quite otherwise. I remember at the time, you know, reading all these articles which were appearing all over the place in oilprice.com and the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times way back in, you know, late February, early March, about how the Saudis were going to flood the world with oil and were offering discounts. And I said to myself, you know, they must be off out of the, you know, they must have lost all their senses. I mean, this is so crazy at the time. Now that it's all gone wrong, you know, MBS is looking once again to cover his tracks, as he did with the Khashoggi business. You know, it wasn't anything to do with me. All these other people were responsible. That wasn't my decision. He's done the same with the Yemen war, by the way. I didn't decide to invade Yemen. It was other people who took that decision. He's doing exactly the same with the collapse of OPEC Plus and this insane plan to swamp the oil industry, the oil market with Saudi oil. It's classic MBS, and no one should be fooled by it.
And the meeting, Alexander, that they're going to hammer out.
Yeah, well, they're going to hammer it out. Now, again, this is
going to try to hammer out.
Bloomberg says that because the meeting was supposed to be held on Monday, And Bloomberg is saying, and I'm sure the Saudis have told Bloomberg this, that, you know, they've pushed back the meeting till Thursday because MBS is so upset with, you know, what the Russians are doing, and that this bad blood between Putin and MBS is what's holding up the meeting. That is absolute and complete nonsense again, and we shouldn't fall for it. The Russians have said after they spoke to Trump, that there were no ongoing negotiations with the Saudis at that point. There was no discussions prior to that meeting. So there was no sense in holding the meeting on Monday. They need those 3 days from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in order to try and hammer out some kind of agreement and to hold substantive discussions with each other, which up to now have not been going on. So, of course, the meeting has had to be postponed. It was crazy, crazy, saying that the meeting would happen on Monday at all. Again, this is MBS playing stupid games, which were never going to really achieve the objective that he wanted. So, of course, the meeting has been pushed back till Thursday. Donald Trump, you can be sure, will be on the phone. He's apparently also spoken to MBS as well as Putin. I mean, he said as much. So he's spoken to MBS, he's spoken to Putin. The oil regulator for Texas will be attending this meeting on Thursday, or at least one assumes he'll be attending. It'll probably be a video conference. And all the various people who are involved in all of this will be talking to each other. I suspect that Putin and MBS are going to be talking to each other. They need those 3 days.
I have a feeling that this is MBS's last chance.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, if he behaves on Thursday like he behaved last time, then I think he will have made enemies all over the place. I mean, you know, Putin's comments do need to be read clearly, because of course Putin always talks in this very measured language. We've discussed that before, like when he talks about Erdogan and the Turks, for example. He's always very controlled in what he says in public. In private, it might be different, but in public, he always picks his words with great care. He is furious. That's one thing I really want to say. I mean, you know, I know Putin very well. He's furious with MBS, and he's furious with this story, which I am sure he attributes to MBS. I'm sure he thinks it's MBS who's been spreading it around, that, you know, that he's got this great master plan to destroy the shale oil industry, which he's never entertained and never spoken about and never hinted about in any place and in anywhere and to anyone. So he's furious with MBS. And of course, Trump is furious with MBS, because what has MBS been trying to do over the last couple of weeks? He's been setting out to destroy the US oil industry, a strategic industry of the United States. What MBS has achieved, it's exactly what we said. Instead of dominating the oil industry as he fancied, he's got the Russians and the Americans teaming up against him. And Thursday is going to be his chance, his last chance, to get out of this mess he's made for himself. Now, we may not have a meeting on Thursday, but there have to be substantive discussions. I say not a decision on Thursday, because the time frame is so short. 3 days is a very short time to hammer out some sort of agreement. But hopefully, if not on Thursday, very soon after.
What bad
time. He's got to negotiate seriously.
MBS picked the worst time. Well, I'm sorry, the worst time to go after the U.S. shale oil industry. I mean, you couldn't have picked a worse time to piss off the U.S.
Well, of course not. I mean, you know, at the time when the U.S. has a crisis on its hands, And remember, the US is the country that protects Saudi Arabia, that sends its Patriot missiles there, that has its troops there, that is defending Saudi Arabia from Iran, that is supporting the Saudi royal family that remains in power all the time. It's the country. I mean, the US can survive without Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia cannot survive without the US. I mean, that's the dynamic. But at the time when the US has a major crisis in its hands, when 1,000 people are dying every day in New York as a result of this pandemic, when much of the US is in lockdown, what does Sam MBS do? He launches this crazy oil war. I mean, his timing was desperate. And let's maybe say it one more time. That's what the Russians at that meeting in Vienna told him. Wait and see what's going to happen in the oil markets. Let's then get back together and agree what must be done. This isn't the moment to start either, you know, rushing off and making cutbacks, which we might have to revisit in a few days or weeks, or obviously not launch this insane oil war.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would reiterate one very last point, which is, again, I said that it would, in a very recent video, that it'd be the moment when the Saudis begin to run out of storage space, that you'd see the Russians and the Americans coming together and opposing the ultimatum. The point would come when the Saudis wouldn't know where to park the oil they were pumping. So they would have to stop pumping. And that's exactly what's happened. If you go to Putin's comments, the comments between Putin and his oil executives and his oil minister, Novak, you will see that they make exactly that point, that the world is running out of storage spaces for oil. In fact, the world may be running out of oil storage places. Saudi Arabia is apparently almost there. I mean, it's not running out. It's just about run out. So it has to cut production anyway. In fact, what the Saudis need to do for a couple of weeks, I think, is stop producing oil at all, because they've already produced so much. They already have so much oil in storage that they need to actually disperse some of that so that they can find places to store their own oil. I mean, much of it now they have offshore in oil tankers, because their storage spaces within Saudi Arabia are full, and they've run out of super tankers to store it on. So, I mean, you know, this gives you an idea of the lunacy of all of this.
The crazy kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Well, the crazy kingdom managed by a fool. I mean, it's always been a weird place, in my opinion, but I mean, it couldn't get weirder than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And can I just say something? One absolutely last point before we finish about this. Saudi Arabia has not always been like this. I mean, I've never been a great fan of the place for many reasons, but I've always considered that they, you know, had a good understanding of the oil market and how to run it. I mean, I remember people like Sheikh Yamani, who was the oil minister in the 70s. Then there was the previous king, King Abdullah. He always knew what he was doing. MBS doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, this is, it's been bonkers. I mean, it's been a childish tantrum by, you know, some people called him the clown prince.
I agree with that moniker. He is the clown prince, no doubt about it. All right, let's wrap it up there. Alexander, thank you very much for that video. Guys, if you like this video, please click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Smash that like. Look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud as well for an audio copy of this video. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Also, go to the Durant shop and pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, and all kinds of great shirts, long sleeves, V-necks, polos, all kinds of good things. And Alexander, we have ebooks, and we were talking about this. We'll get to the Patriot Beacon as well. And we were talking about this before we started to record the video, that for the U.S., I found a charity called Feed the Fight. I actually saw it on Tucker Carlson. And what they do is they take money from donors. They buy food from restaurants that are struggling now, and they deliver that food to nurses and doctors who are in the front line. They started out in DC and now they're rolling out in just about every city in the US. So let's look for some charities in some of the very hard hit countries. Hopefully, let's look for charities that target the medical professionals on the front lines that help them out in the UK, in Italy, in Spain, in the hardest hit countries.
Yeah.
And anything that you buy from, anytime you buy an ebook from the Durand Shop, we'll donate 100% to those charities. So we got Feed the Fight in the US. Anyone has any suggestions, please put them in the comments down below. Shoot me off an email of any good charities in the US, Italy, Spain.
The UK also. We'll be looking for people in the
UK. Yeah, we'll be looking that...
some people, that would be really helpful. People
that focus on the medical professionals.
Exactly, frontline staff. Some of them, because I'm getting lots of things, I should say, from people in the NHS, and I know how difficult and desperate such conditions are for some of them, and the fact that they're having a terrible and awful time at this moment, and many of them, they've seen some terrible things apparently, and that's hard to work through. But without them, frankly, we would all be stuffed. I mean, they really are the front line between that's holding at the moment between us and a pandemic that would be far worse if they weren't there.
Well, and the goal is the more we support them, the quicker we get through this crisis.
Absolutely,
and the quicker we can get back to business.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's the ultimate strategy there. And this charity in the U.S., Feed the Fight, is actually pretty clever. It's very clever in that it supports the restaurant business as well, which is also really struggling. It's been hit hard. So you support the restaurant business and you support the nurses and doctors on the front line. And of course, we also have our great partners at the Patriot Patriotic Legacy, who are selling the Patriot Beacon and 20% discount for all Durand viewers when you put the code Durand20. Yeah. Great product made in the USA. Alexander.
Yeah, I mean, can I just
take it forward?
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, this is an absolutely brilliant torch is what we tend to say still in Britain, because obviously I'm British, and it is the best torch that I've ever had, and I say that without any hesitation. You can see how strong it is. It's absolutely it's all aluminium. You can see its solidity, its sheer indestructibleness. I mean, it's one of those extraordinary things that the US produces, which just oozes quality, manufacturing quality, and you can see it and you can feel it when you hold it. And it needs to be incredibly strong and durable in that way, because of course it's primarily intended to have in your car, and my goodness, you need a thing like this in your car, because it's got every kind of accessory you could want on a long journey. So if you have a crash, please don't have any crashes, but if you have a crash, you can smash the windscreen. If you lose your way, you have a compass. You have a compass there. If you want to attract attention and to bring people, you have a alarm. If you need to cut yourself out of your seatbelt, you've got a seatbelt cutter too. And if you need to power up your iPhone or your mobile phone or your iPad or whatever, you've actually got a USB port. Now, the great thing with this torch is that it's solar powered, so there's no question of batteries or anything like that. It keeps going indefinitely, provided it gets light, which it does during the day. And it's also got a magnet, so you can stick it on the side of your car, and it's perfect. But it's also a phenomenal torch. I mean, it lights brilliantly. It enables you to see where you're going. So if you have to get out of your car, it keeps you wherever you're going. And you can also, flash it as a signal. You can have it as a signal, as you can see. And obviously, if it makes the kind of alarm that I've just made, if you're on a busy road, all these things help. But of course, I don't just use it for going out on a road. I also use it to walk around at night, especially in times like these. when I'm walking my dogs, because I can keep track of where they're going. And when I press the alarm, believe it or not, they actually come. And that's been one of the really wonderful things about this torch. It's the best torch you can buy. I say that without any hesitation. It is indestructible. It is solid. It has all these accessories, probably got even more accessories than I know. It's that kind of tool. And it is one of the best tools that you can have. So I cannot recommend this too strongly. The Patriot Beacon, made by our friends at Patriotic Legacy. Alex will explain to you at the end of this program, the end of this video, where you can buy it, how you can buy it from, and also through our shop. So we also have in our shop our own products, also, if I may say, of supreme quality. We have our famous magic mugs with, this one has the double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation. You can see it there. Very elegant mug, but all our mugs are strong, elegant, beautifully made, extremely strong. And they keep your tea and coffee extremely hot. I should say, by the way, that I'm drinking at the moment Earl Grey. It's the kind of day when you really want to have Earl Grey. That's the kind of British tea that we all know, and it is a great tea. But we also have, as well as our mugs, we have our various shirts, all 100% cotton, all beautifully made. I'm wearing a long sleeve t-shirt at the moment because I've been recently walking my dogs. And it's a perfect shirt for a nice day, a nice day's walk with the dogs, but you can wear it also indoors. We've also got wonderful short sleeve t-shirts, and we've got our famous and fabulous polo shirts, which are some of the, which are the best polo shirts you will ever find. And of course, you've got lots of other things. We've got V-neck shirts, we've got hats, hoodies and stickers, and we've got the ebooks. And can I repeat again that we are now going to commit whatever money we make from the sales of our ebooks, and we're looking to make, to publish more, by the way, very soon.
We're going one more coming very soon. And we'll get another one on the way.
Absolutely. So we're going to commit all the money we make from that to the various people, the health workers, who are struggling to hold the line against this pandemic, which is putting us all in so much danger and which is also causing so much disruption to all our lives. Those people, I think we are all agreed, deserve all the support they can have. So support the Duran, obviously, buy yourself a Patriot Beacon, the wonderful things that you have in our shop, our shirts, our hoodies, our magic mugs, and also support the health workers too by buying our ebooks. Alex will tell you where you can go to get all these things.
Okay, so Patriot Beacon, link is in the description box down below. Use Duran20, you'll get 20% discount on that amazing product. Go to theduranshop.com. You'll also find the link in the description box down below for that as well. We'll start out with 100% of whatever we make on the ebook sales. We'll go to Feed the Fight in the US. Once again, in the comment section down below, or shoot us off an email if you have any ideas for really good places we can donate to in the UK and Italy and in Spain that will go to health professionals as well. So send us those that information in the comment section or via email. And we'll also get them whatever money we can make from our ebooks. And we will, Alexander, have one ebook coming very, very soon. And another one coming right after that. So we'll have a lot of ebooks for you to choose from. And it's a win-win.
Absolutely.
You get great reading material. And we get to help out the people on the front line.
Who need all the help they can get. That's absolutely the fact. And we depend and rely on them.
All right. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.